Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of the Refreshed Podcast. I am so excited to bring you the next and last installment of our series, Well Tells. And before we jump into that recap, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and we're going to get this thing started. Father, I just thank you so much for everything that you do for us in our lives. God, we are so grateful for you and your faithfulness. God, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. Father, I thank you for any person that is listening to this episode today. God, I pray that you would just open up their hearts and their ears to receive from you here today. God, I pray that you would just move in such an incredible way that we can take the seeds from this message and just plant it in our hearts, Lord, and that we can depend on you to come and water them, that the fruit from the harvest of this message would be plentiful, that we can share with those around us. Father, we love you and we thank you and we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I am so excited once again to be back with you. It's your boy, the Muffin Man. Happy Monday. As the kiddos getting ready to start school again, I hope your morning and your afternoon and your day in general is just off to such an incredible start. So without further ado, let's jump into the recap for Well Tells, right? So we are on our final episode of the series, and I truly hope that you've enjoyed digging into the book of Jonah as much as I have. There's a lot of great things I think that we can learn and apply to our lives by reading about Jonah. And I know that I have learned a lot by just sitting here and truly teaching myself and allowing myself to just sit here and take time through reading this book of Jonah. Obviously, we have built 6 different episodes of the book of Jonah with just 4 chapters. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. And if you're just signing on from the very first time, the rest of those episodes are archived and available that you can go and check out. So let's go ahead and jump into this. So when we last left off, Jonah had gone into Nineveh and offered an opportunity to make things right with God to the natives of Nineveh, right? You guys remember that the king of Nineveh had led his people to a place of repentance in a genuine manner. He realized that what he was doing was wrong, and it says that he had left his throne and he had removed his robe and put on sackcloth, that he had made a decree to the people of Nineveh that they needed to seek the face of the Lord earnestly and ask him for forgiveness. You guys remember that from last weekend? If you didn't, that is found in Jonah chapter 3. You guys can go and check that out for the repentance of Nineveh. And so that's where we left off. So today we're going to see what the response to Jonah is and just kind of how the rest of this book plays out. So you would be excited, right? Like, excuse me, guys. I'm terribly sorry about that. I like had this little like cough thing and it was like, whoa, but you know, and, let's get back on track. Yeah. So we see that God saw the genuine change that the people of Nineveh was wanting to create. And he had saw this and he had removed the calamity, which he had declared that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, it seems like a happy ending, right? I mean, you have people who are bound to a pagan worship and an full of idol worship in life. They're devoted to their handcrafted gods. And so just a very wicked environment, a very destructive environment that was created to bring pleasure to themselves. But we see that they realize the error of their ways, the error of their mistakes, and they begin to turn their life around and believe that God is real, and they turn their hearts to God. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but inside of me, that just screams victory. Thank you, Jesus. Now they get to experience the kingdom of heaven, but I want you to know that it is not, in fact, in here. In chapter 4 of Jonah, it tells us that Jonah, in fact, he responds in a complete opposite manner than what you would think. It says in Jonah verse 1 of chapter 4, but it greatly displeased Jonah and he became angry. I'm going to say that again in case you didn't quite catch that, but it greatly displeased Jonah and he became angry. Ah, come on, Jonah. Are you serious, bro? Are you really serious right now? Like, you have just repented and you made things right in the belly of the whale, in the belly of the big fish, that you were like, no, God, I'm willing to go and do this for you. And God's like, awesome, let's go, let's do this. And you go into Nineveh and you minister, and everybody in Nineveh's hearts begin to change. And then we find Jonah here angry because Nineveh had gotten redemption for their lives. But if we're being honest here, Jonah can easily be whatever your name is. Insert your name here, because how many times has God done something really, really epic in our lives? And I'm talking about freedom from bondage. You were baptized in Holy Spirit. You were given a word from a prophet. You were shown an answer to something you've been praying for. You were healed. And the moment that you left the presence of God, or the moment you left the conference, the moment you left the camp, the moment you left the church, you forgot all about it. And you allow the enemy to come in and snatch the seeds that were sprinkled across your heart. You might be amening this really good message that your pastor is preaching, and then when you get out of church, somebody will say, man, that was an amazing service. Like, what did your pastor talk about? Or man, like, what'd you guys talk about? And then you just say, I really don't know. I forgot, or I'm not quite sure. Immediately, those things are stolen from you, and you become distracted with, once again, you know, your idea about how things should have gone. And what happens is you overlooked the move of God and everything he just did. And, you know, honestly, friend, I've been there before. I've done it. And, you know, there's been times where, like, man, the church service is really good. And then I get out and I'm arguing with somebody. Or the church service is really good. And I get out and I go home and I sin. You know, like, man, what happened, man? Like, what happened, you know? But you know what? I've done it and I've been there. And so have you. But look, here's the thing. Look, here's this Band-Aid. Put this Band-Aid on, because this episode isn't nearly near the end yet. And I know it's already rough and tough and it's pushing some soft spots of your hearts. But guys, we have a lot more verses to go through. So just buckle on up and just continue to go through it with me. In verse 2, it says that he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Jonah basically says, God, I knew you were going to do this. I said you were going to do something like this. That's why I ran away. Not because I was going to speak and you were going to lack in performance, but because you were going to speak truth through my lips and action would take place. Lord, I know that you're gracious and compassionate. Lord, I know that you're slow to anger. I know that there's an abundance of loving kindness that is found in you. Lord, I know that you are one who relents in concerning calamity. God, I knew you would do this to Nineveh. They don't deserve this kind of redemption, but here you go, doing what you do best, God. Guys, we have to make sure that we don't find ourselves in this place, that we hold such a hatred or a grudge towards a person or a people group and withhold the opportunity of salvation from them. The same God that rescued and set us free wants to do the very same thing for people of every nation. Jonah called on the very mercy of God for his own life. But when it came to extending the very same thing to Nineveh, he resented. Imagine if God treated Jonah the way Jonah wanted God to treat Nineveh. Man. In verse 3, he says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Jonah was so angry with that Nineveh had repented and that came to God that he wanted to escape reality. And in doing that, he wanted God to take his life. Lord, just take me now. Take my life. Death is better than being alive right now. In verse 4, the Lord questions Jonah and says, Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry? See, Jonah was honest about his feelings with God, and we too have the same ability to do that. It's okay for us to be real with God, but here we see that God asks Jonah a question, and I love it. I love when God asks us questions because it brings us to a place of examining our hearts, oftentimes seeing the foolishness of our feelings, our moods. I'd imagine when God asked Jonah this, he saw the real answer inside. But he still chooses to storm off and pout. Has anyone ever done that to you before, where you're trying to justify something that you know is wrong, and you go to that friend that is honest with you, and I don't even know what you're thinking when you do this, or when we do this, we go to that friend that we know is going to be honest with us, and we tell them the very thing that we're contemplating, or the very thing that we're trying to justify, and they give us the truth, honest answer, and it upsets us to where we're like, you know what, whatever. You know what? Forget about it. And we start off and we pout. And we see that that's kind of what Jonah does here. That God says, Jonah, do you even have a good reason to be angry? Like, I just restored over 120,000 people in Nineveh because they have come to the realization that what they were doing is wrong and they want to live their lives for me now, and you're angry about that? Do you even have a good reason to be angry? We see in verse 5 that Jonah goes out of the city and he made a little shelter for himself and he sat under it until he could see what would happen in the city. Jonah had this mentality of, psh, Nineveh? Nineveh loves God now? This is the same Nineveh that was the enemy of Israel and did all these bad things, and it's just supposed to be that easy that, oh, they repented and now things are all good in the hood. We'll see how long that lasts. There is no way. But guys, I want you to know something in this story. That there are two sides to the fence, my friend, and this is when you have to ask yourself. You're either Nineveh or Jonah. Am I Nineveh or am I Jonah? And here's what I mean by that. If you're Nineveh, then you recognize that the need to change. You have no idea that what that looks like, but you begin to trust God through the process. You take steps in the direction needed. But here's the thing. You have Jonah's watching you going, psh, good luck with that. Psh, we'll see how long that lasts. Or, yeah, right. I've seen him or her out in public. I know what they've done. Or I've been a part of their life for a long time. I've seen their mistakes. I've seen their failures. But now they're supposed to be living for Jesus Christ now. I remember when you did this. I remember you when you hurt me or you offended somebody. Friend, if this is you, and you say, wow, you know what? I think I'm Nineveh in this story. Then you need to be reminded that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man is found in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come. So don't let the words or the opinions of those thinking about your past or worst-case scenarios about your walk keeping you from the place that God has from you. It's time to move on. I'm going to say that one more time. Don't let the words or the opinions of those thinking about your past or worst case scenarios about your walk keep you from the place that God has for you. It's time to move on. It's time to trust and rely on the word of God and what he says about you. Or you're Jonah. And this is going to be a harsh reality for some people hearing this. Maybe you're not Nineveh. Maybe you're actually Jonah. You're the bitter person that, you're bitter that a person has found Jesus, and you're the one that's watching and waiting for it to go sour so you can say, see, I knew it. It wasn't real. And if that's you, then friend, I encourage you to let the question God has asked Jonah flood into your heart. Do you have a good reason to be angry? See, don't let the enemy use you as a mouthpiece. Your words have power, guys. It's time to become an encourager of the body of Christ. My friend Brian had showed us this experiment that a scientist had done with the experimentation of your words and to see if your words have power. And so he took this one bowl of water and he spoke and positive, uplifting words over it. And he took another bowl of water, a container of water, and he spoke negative words of death over this water. And whenever the waters were frozen in the same exact environment, nothing was done differently. When they were put under a microscope, the positive spoken water had formed crystal molecules that resembled a snowflake. It was beautiful, and it was incredible. But when it was put under the microscope of the container of water that was spoken illly over and negative, that they began to see that the molecules had begun to form this ugly nonsense of water. And so we have to be careful with our words, because there is a majority of our body that is made up of water. So if our words have power and influence on the things around us, then we have to be careful with the things that we speak to over those around us. But you know what? If you're a Jonah, then it's time for you to get off the beach. It's time to get from under your little hut, and it's time for you to abandon your words of bitterness, abandon your words of anger, and to become an encourager of the body of Christ. Now, we're going to read through the rest of these scriptures, verses 6 through 11, because I want you to get the fullest depth of what's going on here, and then we're going to recap. So starting at verse 6, it says, "So the Lord God appointed a plant and grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked a plant and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, 'Death is better to me than life.' Then God said to Jonah, 'Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?' And he said, 'I have good reason to be angry, even to death.' Then the Lord said, 'You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals?'" That's a lot of good stuff. I actually saw something in there while reading that I didn't think about, but we're going to definitely share and talk about in just a moment. So we see here that God had allowed Jonah to have shelter from the heat found in this plant. The shelter was found in this plant. The heat wasn't coming from this plant. I'm sorry I said that weird. Until he reached a place of extreme happiness. And then God allowed a worm to eat the plant. And the sun was allowed to beat down on Jonah. And Jonah was allowed to see in that moment what a real hothead feels like, right? And Jonah, and then God, we see that God says, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah says, "Yes, I want to die." And here's where I want to insert something that's not in my notes, but something that I overlooked when I was reading this that I thought was really, really good. God says in verse 10, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow." Now watch this. "Which came up overnight and perished overnight." So we see here that Jonah was more had more compassion on the plant that grew overnight and also died overnight, that didn't last very long. But he didn't have compassion on Nineveh, which was something that was going to be a long-lasting investment, a long-lasting definitely a lot. It would live a lot longer than the temporary life of that plant. But, you know, we see here that Jonah found more compassion in that plant than he did for Nineveh. And anytime that we come to a place, guys, to where we find more compassion for, like, nature or something silly in our life, something that makes us comfortable or a distraction in our life more than it than the compassion that we show for people or God is ordaining for us to go and speak to or to love on, then we have really missed the mark. Jonah made three errors that angered people, that angry people often make. I found this from my friends over at the Enduring Word commentary during the preparation of this. So shout out to those guys. Super incredible. Jonah made three errors that angry people often make. The first one is that Jonah quit. Second one is Jonah separated himself from others. And lastly, number three, Jonah became a spectator. See, Jonah could have did life with Nineveh, and he could have helped teach them how to live their lives in a way that would please God. But he allowed his anger to bring him to a place to where he quit. I quit. Have you ever said that before out of frustration? I quit. I can't do this anymore. This isn't easy. This isn't something I like. You know, I've been there plenty of times, whether it was during my spiritual journey with King Jesus or even in my secular job. You know, things don't always go according to plan. That there are obstacles that we face and they're difficult to get past. But it's oftentimes when we stopped, when we come to that stop, that halt at the obstacle, that we begin to see Jesus in a more clear way. And together with his help, we overcome that obstacle. But you know, it's really hard to see things when we're consumed by anger. We begin to overlook things, and you know, we get in that mentality where we're like, you know what, I quit. It's also important to see here, just like they mentioned number two, Jonah separated himself from others. And this isn't the first time that we saw Jonah do this. In the beginning, he withdrew from the call of God and he went to sleep on a ship to avoid contact with other people. Anger often isolates us from people. And isolation is a dangerous environment to be in. Now, it's important to understand that it's not the same as withdrawing to spend time with God, because that's not isolation, that's intimacy. Don't confuse the two. But anger pushes us away from people and pushes people away from us. Who wants to spend time with someone who has a bad attitude or is consumed by rage all the time? This destroys the very thing that God wants to do in our lives, to bring people in, show them who Jesus is, love on them, and disciple them. And as we mentioned, anger led Jonah to become a spectator, becoming the how long will it last guy. But you know what? The cool thing is that the story doesn't end here. In verse 11, God says, "Shouldn't I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their left and their right hand, as well as many animals?" See, Jonah shouldn't have compassion on them. They are a great city. And just saying that whenever God gets involved, the greatest city becomes the greater city. And, you know, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. Friend, here's the takeaway from this message. Don't let anger become the very thing that hardens your heart so much that you ignore and overlook every move of God. That you come to a place of wanting to die, allowing anger to make you quit the very thing that God is wanting you to do. Separating yourself from people and becoming a person that waits for the failure in others to question their salvation. It's time to allow anger to leave. It's time to command anger to leave, to tell anger to hit the road and to adopt a joy in the place of anger. Just as God had asked Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry? Ask yourself that right here, right now, wherever you are. Do you have a good reason to be angry? And allow God to help you find the answer inside of your heart. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this word that you've brought to us today. God, I pray that you would use this word to challenge us in our lives, Lord. Lord, that we would become people that would not host anger, that would not allow anger to destroy the very work that you want to do in our lives, that we would not allow anger to bring us to a place to where we overlook the goodness of you, we overlook the things that you are doing and continuously want to do. God, I pray that you would help us to have compassion on the people of Nineveh within our own very lives, God, that when you begin to do new things in our lives and you bring them to redemption, help us not to grow angry, help us not to get weary, help us not to be upset, but Lord, help us to celebrate, help us to encourage, and help us to disciple them, God. God, I pray that you would help us to ask ourselves that tough question, do I have a good reason to be angry? And obviously, Lord, the answer is no. There is no good reason to be angry, Lord, that we have to remove the anger that is wanting to consume our hearts and to rob our minds and our peace, Lord, that you can help us to move away from these things, Lord, to not have more compassion on the plant than we do on the people. Lord, help us not to find frustration so easily, God, but to rely on you for you are our strength. God, I pray that you would just continue to help us throughout the week, Lord, to do these very things and put them into motion. God, we just thank you and we give you the highest praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for this journey of Well Tell series. That is the conclusion of our series. I am your boy, the Muffin Man. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before so we can bring you another refreshing word. I love you guys. Have a good rest of your weeks, and I'll be back with you again next time.